Good morning, Confluence Church. How are you doing today? What a joy. I got to tell you from the bottom of my heart, a joy to be here with you today and be able to share the Word of God and to be able to show you some awesome gold nuggets. You know, as the body of Christ, we have something amazing, and that's the power of the Word of God. And today we're going to look at this week and next week, this beautiful, powerful book of Romans. Has it been powerful for you? Man, Paul is an amazing, amazing apostle. And so in that, we're going to talk about this beautiful book, and we're going to look at chapter 15, and we're going to be going from verse 14 all the way through to the end of 33. And so if you just get that ready in your Bibles, that would be great. Let's open in prayer. Father, wow, what a joy to be in your presence, to sense your heart for your people. Father, to receive your love and to see your teaching and your encouragement, Father, that your people who are called by your name would be empowered for the work at hand. Lord, how beautiful it is that you came and showed the offering of your life so that we might be set free. Lord, and not only set free, but empowered by the Holy Spirit through the living Word of God, that we would be a people in this day and age, Father, where we stand in the midst of adversity, where people see in the midst of the darkness a great light, and that great light is Jesus, the living Christ. Thank you for that, Father. And we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would guide us, that you would guide me. Lord, I present myself to you. And Father, thank you, Lord, that it would be by your Spirit every word. And Father, the heart that comes from you, Lord, for your people, in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. And let's start in chapter 15, verse 14. Now, I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you, because of the grace of God given to me, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and in deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard will understand. For this reason, I have also been much hindered from coming to you. But now longer, I no longer have a place in these parts, and having a great desire these years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you. For I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped by you on my way there, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor, the saints that are who are in Jerusalem. And it pleased them indeed, and they are debtors. For if the Gentiles had been partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed this fruit for them, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with full joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now may the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Yeah. Go ahead and be seated. Now, it's a beautiful thing, you know, in this last part of chapter 15, that now Paul is becoming beautifully personal with the Roman Christians. And he says there in verse 14, he says, "Now myself, I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another." Paul's confidence in the Word of God, which is being exhibited by the Roman Christians, is beautiful. He knew that there was great evidence that in them was the power of the Holy Spirit, because he saw it in their works and their deeds. They were living it out. He saw it as a validation. He calls the Roman believers brethren. He was confident in their real faith and their knowledge. And the knowledge came through the power and the revelation of the Word of God. Now, at the time of Paul's ministry, in the mid-50s A.D., they listened to they read the Septuagint, and that was the Greek Old Testament. And along with that, they had some of the oral and writings of the accounts of Jesus. They also were able to have, most likely, Paul's earlier letters, which was 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. So they had the powerful work, not only of what they saw through the power of the Holy Spirit through the early church, but they had the living God. And we have it all right here, don't we? Isn't it beautiful? We have it right here. And so in their knowledge, they were commended because they were commended in the fact that they were able to admonish one another. Well, what's admonish mean? Well, to be able to direct in a strong way. And they were able to admonish one another because of their maturity in Christ that came through the power of the Word. This is a very great commendation. And we want to, as a church, have a commendation of being a healthy church because of the knowledge of the precious Word of God through faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So they were encouraging one another that there would be obedience from the heart. Now let's look at verse 14. In verse 14, we see here, he's boldly reminding them. He says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points and reminding you because of the grace given to me by God that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." But let's look at this boldly reminding us. Now, he had just told this Roman church that they were mature, that he commended them in their abilities, in the ability that they had as they waited upon God through the power of his Spirit. And here it was that he was now saying, "I'm reminding you." Why does someone who knows something need to be reminded? Because we do. I don't know how many times you've been in a situation. I used to work in a juvenile hall, and we had razors that we had to hand out. And it was just a simple thing of handing out razors, marking it down, and there it was. Well, the situation here was every, probably every 3 months, we had a new memo coming out about how we didn't do it right. So we were reminded. And so the thing is that we need to be reminded, especially as we look and live the Word of God. Paul here is fulfilling what his calling is. He is reminding, he is encouraging, he is strengthening the body of Christ, and it's for a very, very good reason. It says he wants them to hold boldly. He talks to them boldly, but he wants them to hold fast to the doctrines of our salvation. That's the Word of God. He wants us to hold fast. If, in one sentence, if I could say something that was the most important to my family and the body of Christ, it would be this. Hold fast to the Word of God. Look at it. Read it. Study it on a daily basis. It is the very Word that spoke everything that we see into existence. God is powerful. He created you. You're beautifully and wonderfully made by his presence, by his hand. And in this, what do we have? We have a creator who loves us, and it's a beautiful thing. So hold fast unto your salvation. Hold fast unto the Word of God. And so it says here, I'd like to go to this next verse, which is in 1 Corinthians 15:1. And it says this, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain." Brothers and sisters, we have an enemy. And the enemy is the liar. And he has a hatred for your king, for our king. And he will do anything possible to stop you and I from standing and from holding fast. But it says here in 1 Peter 5:9, it says, "Be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he might devour. Resist him. Stand steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings that you're suffering are suffered by many." And this is very important. The importance of this was exemplified. How to know the word and how to use the word and how to hold fast was exemplified by Jesus. And we all know this account in Matthew 4:4. And in Matthew 4:4, I'm going to drop that right there for a second. Matthew 4:4, let's start at verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led up into the Spirit, into the wilderness, to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he became hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, if you're a believer, if you're the Son of God,' he said, 'turn these stones into bread.' But he answered him and said this, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.' And again, he said, 'Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written." Now the enemy and the liar quotes scripture. And this is what he says. He says, "If you're the Son of God," he says, "throw yourself down. For he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not even strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt not put the Lord your God to a foolish test. Here Jesus, in just these first two attacks of the enemy, we're showing you and I how to use the word of God on a daily basis against the things that attack us as his people. Because the enemy wants us sidelined and not going forward as the church. And so he goes on to say in this very last one, hey, I'm going to show you all the kingdoms of the earth and their glory. And I can imagine, can you imagine what Jesus back in a long time ago saw when Satan showed him the kingdoms of the world? Maybe it was stuff we even haven't seen yet. Glorious, beautiful. But he says, "It is." He said, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now here, God used the very word, and here in front of Satan was the very word of God. And yet he used the word, and it was over. The word of God is made to deliver us as his people. It's made to uphold us in so many ways. But you know what? The enemy wants us to forget that simple but powerful truth. So this enemy is wicked. He will do anything that he can. In Hebrews 4:12, it says this. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the heart. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It discerns our heart. It discerns our motives, our intentions. Why? To judge us? No. Discerns the things so it can correct us. It can prepare us for a battle at hand. I can just tell you, brothers and sisters, how many times just in one day we can have a battle that sometimes has great fortitude with it. It's hard. It's difficult. Yet God desires that we have victory. The scriptures teach us to take action. Man, did you see that guy just blowing his leaves on my property again after I talked with him? Oh boy, I get a chance right here to, I'm at a crossroads, ain't I, as a believer? Do I cuss him out? Do I, hey, you know, of course, no. The Holy Spirit gives me an action. He tells me, Fred, he said, bless those who curse you. Bless those who pray for those who mistreat you. What a wonderful action that we have through the power of the word of God to go forward. It says this in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture has been inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be adequate for every good work. What power that God gives us. The enemy wishes to cast doubt and fear. Because in doing so, in casting doubt and fear, guess what you and I look at? We look at our own shortcomings, our own inabilities. But yet God, who's rich in mercy, wants to shift our focus to something eternal, something that does not have shortcomings, that does not have inabilities. God is eternal. He's powerful. He's able to do a mighty work. He says, and I'm going to just tell you, I've heard these, and you've probably heard them too. He says, you're not good enough. Call yourself a Christian? You think so? You think you can handle that? Ah, I saw what you did. Oh boy. And he wants us to run. He wants us to run behind a bush, because if we're not abiding in the word of truth, we have to just hold to our own shortcomings. We have to hold to a form of godliness, but yet deny the God's power that he gave us. We have to run. This is where our Bible gets dusty. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but tell me. You're going through a problem. You think about opening the Word, and you feel judged because the enemy has done that to you. And all of a sudden, you're going, I don't want to open this Word up because it's going to reveal more of what an idiot I am. The only reason I'm able to talk to you about this is I've heard the same thing. Most of us have, because that's the enemy's tactic. But let me just tell you this. It's a deception. God doesn't judge you. God loves you. God says, come to me, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that a gorgeous and wonderful, beautiful promise for you and I? We need that. And the reason why we need that is because we're called to force the gates of hell open, to advance. It says in the scriptures that not even the gates of hell shall prevail against them. And what do these gates of hell look like? A relationship that's broken. A situation we don't know how to deal with. We run in fear instead of taking the high ground. Adam and Eve, they taught us how to do this. We know the Bible account where they were in the garden and the enemy comes to them and he goes, has God said you shouldn't eat of any of the tree of the garden here? She says, no, we can eat of the tree of the garden and just not of this one or this one and just the one that is the knowledge of good and evil, lest we die or even touch it. And he says to them, he says, that's not true. You're not going to die. And so he causes Eve to be conceived into this sin that says God is holding out on her. He hasn't given. He says, for in the day you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And she says, Lord, if I eat it. And so she ate. And she gave to her husband. And guess what happened? Sin entered. They looked at the beautiful creation, the beauty that God had given them, and they were appalled. And they ran. They knew that they were naked, the Bible says, and they ran. And they hid behind a bush from who? God. Have you ever tried to hide behind a bush from God? It doesn't work. But look at the awful thing that happened here. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit was broken. They went into the bush. They heard the sound of the Lord walking. They ran from him because they felt ashamed. They knew that they were naked. And this is what God said. He said, Adam, where are you? Fred, where are you? Lisa, where are you? John, where are you? He said, Adam, where are you? Because the fellowship was severed. And yet God had a plan because in that same book was the very first prophecy of Jesus coming when he says, one will be between you and her, and you shall bruise his heel, but he shall bruise your head. The overcoming Jesus, the one who is coming, the living word of God to set mankind free. We have that. Now, we have that today. What does your bush look like? Where do you run when things get tough? If you're not abiding or holding on to the Word of God and holding fast. Sometimes I don't. And guess what? You know what my bush looks like? An extra large dipped soft serve ice cream cone. Now, I'm just making a little fun there, but sometimes we run to food. We run to pointing the finger, to self-pity. We run somewhere to hide, something to make us feel better. For some, it's drugs, alcohol. It's doing something that destroys them because the enemy just loves to do this. Run, run to that stuff. Yeah. I've just hindered someone who's walking with Christ. I've hurt them. And so Religious pride, shh, could be the L-U-S-T word. It could be the big P, whatever it is. He wants to enslave us. God wants to set us free. And this is the promise today. This is why this message is kind of focused on this very thing, is because we want to be set free to do greater things. I love Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be all glory. Isn't that neat? So this is a beautiful thing. So be transformed, it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, just like Jesus did in Satan's face, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Connection with Christ Jesus brings humility and power. Let's read in verse 17, and we're just going to read a little bit over. Let's go ahead. It says, therefore, I have reason to glory and boast in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. Now here Paul is talking that this is not of my power. This is of the power of the Holy Spirit. I have reason to boast, to glory in Jesus Christ in the things that pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of anything that which Christ has not accomplished in me, in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, isn't that beautiful? He knows where his power comes from. When you and I know where our power comes from, God protects us. It's a beautiful thing. We have a testimony that we can share with people that go, that is not of this world. That is not something that I can manufacture. And you know how many people in our lives, in our family, in our neighborhood, that need to see something more than what man can pull up? I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, that here we can glory and boast. We can do that in Jesus. I can tell you three things right now where God did something so far past anything I could have ever done. I was stuck out. I'm an ocean water diver. And yes, I was stuck out in the water where you could see no boat as far as the eye could see. Because I came up as a diver, me and my buddy, and we didn't really realize how important this was, but we had a gentleman he'd never worked with divers before. So we came up in the Santa Maria Channel about 4 miles from shore, and there was no boat as far as the eye can see. And apparently I'm here in front of you today, so I have a testimony. But what a time that was. When I was praying before the Lord, I was saying, Lord, I couldn't even believe how fervent I was at that moment. I don't remember praying this fervently. And I was embarrassed because of how fervent I was praying, Lord. I don't know if you know much about the maritime, but when someone falls overboard, it's really hard to find them. And that's just within the half quarter mile area. They're hard to see. And we had no boat. How the Lord brought a boat directly back to me that day. I want to boast. Jesus. It was Jesus. He's the only one who could have brought that boat right there. It was amazing. I had children. I did not have children at that time. I had a wonderful girlfriend named Carol Viola today. But how he brought me, how the time when we were called into ministry and we said, Lord, are you moving us into these projects to do work with these? And yes, we ended up working with them, but no, he had us about 3 miles up the street in a middle-class neighborhood. and we didn't even have the money, and the money showed up for this one house. Why are you putting us here, Lord? Why can't we be shoulder to shoulder with the people we're working with? Well, he put us there, and we knew for a great reason. But it came to the end of the month where I had no money. I had $1.50. And I said, hey, you know, gosh, tomorrow rent's due. I don't have any food money. Here we go. I said, this is what we're going to do. I borrowed $1.50 from my friend. I bought my wife her favorite cookies. And I said, tonight, we're going to praise God. We're going to thank him that he brought us here. We're going to trust him and say, Lord, thank you so much for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And we just trust you. We started singing. We prayed. We praised. And a knock at the door. 10:30 at night was there. The Lord put this on my heart to give you. And there it was. Everything to pay the rent and have food money. Jesus, I boast in Jesus before you. He's the one that holds us, that keeps us up. And I could go on all day about how Jesus meets us because of his great love for us. So we go on. Connection also not only brings a testimony that we can give to other people who need Jesus, who need to turn to him, but also the fulfillment of God's plan for you. How does he use you? What do you see in your life? How is he using you now? I can tell you, I love coming here because I see people serving. I see people grabbing one another and touching one another and praying together. That's where I want to be, because I know that the one that they serve has everything that we need. And I know that the one that we serve together is going to do greater things in our midst as we wait upon him, as we hold fast his word, as we study, as we encourage one another unto love and good deeds. I know that God wants to do something powerful through us. There's a lost world out here. Many of us can relate. We have so many churches in this area. Oh, Lord, may our churches love you with all their heart. Hold fast to your word, because you know what's between all these churches? A lot of lost and hurting people. We've got them surrounded. Lord, do a great work. Do a great work in our family. He's able. So Paul goes on in his visit, plan to visit Rome, talking to the precious church. He says, for this reason, in verse 22, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. Now, Paul here has been working the works of God, has been doing amazing things, but he's been hindered by that work in coming to the Romans. But now, no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire in these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I will come to you, for I hope to see you. What fellowship? He's never met them before. The Roman church was going for about 10 years, and many of those have come out of the Pentecost. They have come to know the Lord there, but they've never met Paul. But Paul had heard about them, as in the opening of this chapter, and loves them and wants to come to them and knows that when he comes that there's going to be a unity of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so he longs for it. And he knows also that he will be helped by them in his way to Spain. But I am going to Jerusalem and to minister to the saints. What a joy. How many of you have been ministered to by the saints? Isn't it beautiful? And you minister to the saints. That is a real part of our ministry. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this. This is really cool. As I was studying this chapter, I learned that as Paul was going around the country preaching the gospel, especially in Macedonia and Achaia, he was collecting funds for the poor in Jerusalem. And there was many poor Christians in Jerusalem. But there was also some kind of this going on among the church. And what was it? Well, there were Jew Christians, and there was Gentile Christians. And there was Judaizers that had previously come through, and they were telling everybody, hey, listen, it's great you know Jesus, but you need to be circumcised. Brothers and sisters, Jesus plus anything needs zero. Jesus alone means everything. And so as he was collecting this, he was also, as we read in Acts 20, he was gathering, he had about five Gentile Jews with him, Gentiles going with him to Jerusalem, and they were bringing money to support this church. Can you imagine the beautiful workings of the Holy Spirit that it was bringing when this money was coming to these who were kind of doing this? And they saw Gentiles, the Jews saw Gentiles bringing them money and bringing love. It was reconciliatory. What a beautiful thing. I love this. And then he says, therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed this, seal this to their fruit. So Paul was bringing it so that those who gave, it would be completed, shall go by the way of Spain. Verse 29, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Fullness and blessing of the gospel of Christ. This is what we have. This is what we bring to one another, is the fullness of the gospel of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Connection with Christ through the power of the Word brings a heart of love and reconciliation. Now I beg you, he says in 30, brethren, though the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayer to God with me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for one another. I can't tell you how many brothers and sisters prayed for me when I was in the midst of a very dark time some 28 years ago. There was people in this very congregation who knew me as a man who was separated from my family because of my own foolishness, who was broken up here, homeless at times, looking for help, having reached out, and I went into the Yellow Pages. Anybody remember Yellow Pages? So I was looking through the Yellow Pages. That's how long ago it was. For someone to help me because my wife and family had to come up here because of some of the stuff in my life way back when. And what a beautiful thing that I had people praying for me. Some of my best friends to this day were standing next to me and saying, Fred, we're praying for you. But listen, we also have to exhort you. This is not ministry. And I'm telling you, those people in my life were the most important people, and they are to this day. And I called on the Yellow Pages this pastor Ken Winkler, right over here. And I was up in Grass Valley, but it's the only one I could find at the time. He says, hey, Fred, he says, we'll help you. You don't even need to go to our church, but where are you? We'll come to you. We'll help you. And he sent to me an elder who blessed my soul to no end, who prayed for me, who walked with me. And to this day, some 28 years later, I'm back with my family. I watched my children grow up. I repented from my sin. I learned to love God even more. And so now, today, I'm grasping even harder. I'm holding fast to his word because he never leaves us or forsakes us in the midst of our difficulty. And so ask me more about this when you see me, when you talk about me, because I want to boast in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he does, because we need to encourage one another in this very thing. Because what happens if the bull feathers hit the fan? We need to be able to say, no, this is what God tells me to do. And when we act in obedience, when we know the word of God and we act upon it, did you know that that's walking by the Spirit? That's walking by the Spirit. When we know the word, we act upon it, even if we're still afraid, God will go before us. And it says, your glory will be your rear guard. How awesome is this? So, brothers and sisters, strive together with me in prayer. Strive together with one another in prayer that we may hold fast the living word of God, the very power of our lives, the very everything for our lives. The Lord is faithful. He says, after talking about being delivered from those who do not believe, and that his service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Lord, we want our service to be acceptable to you. We want our offerings that we give in service, in singing, in playing the guitar, the drums, in talking to other people and helping them out to be acceptable to you, because it's born out of a heart of love. That he may come to us, Paul says, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. Now may the God of peace be with you all. I have to say this, is that we refresh one another. The Holy Spirit that's in us refreshes one another. What a beautiful thing that is. And, you know, when you study the Word of God and you hold fast to the Word of God and pray, the Holy Spirit does a work that you could never understand, that goes far past anything that you can ask or think. And he prepares you for battle. And all of us know what battle is, don't we? We have different battles. But Jesus, when we hold fast to him, when we abide in him, makes us victorious. Do not be pushed back. Get rid of the bushes, the extra large dip cones. Get rid of them. They don't do anything. They're good for a minute. But what a beautiful thing. But when you see the victory that comes through Jesus Christ, you have a testimony to give one another. And today I want to say this for those of you believers who may be struggling, this word is for you. For those of you who are not struggling, this word is for you. Because we know this, that though the storm has passed, the next one's coming. Will you be ready? Will you be ready to lift up the name of Jesus Christ and the power of his word and watch the enemy fall? That's the only reason we come together. Lord, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for the encouragement of Paul in his writing to the Roman church. Deep, important doctrines of your word and how we are to hold fast. Lord, may you be glorified today. And thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for bringing up the worship team. Thank you for your love for them. Thank you, Father, for everybody who serves in this church. But Father, as we work, may we not work unto our own strength, but may we glory and boast in who you are. Father, you're so good. Lord, may you build, may the testimonies of these precious believers overflow. Father, because we know that the testimonies of you strengthen our hearts. And Lord, may we have many of those as we hold fast to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And today, I would ask if there's any believers or any people who don't know the Lord yet, and you're here today, and you need something. You need something powerful in your life. You've tried, you strove, but yet you don't know. Let me tell you this. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If you come to Jesus, you are coming to the one who can forgive your sins, who can, even though you came in here, like our pastor says, alienated from the living God, you can leave here part of his family because he loves you. His Son came after you. And he's here now to receive you. Is there anybody here who needs to receive this wonderful Jesus by which we have so much power and so much joy? Simply raise a hand, and we'd love to pray for you and invite you into the family of God. Anybody? Okay then, precious believers in Christ, may the God of peace, who loves you, strengthen you in his word. And may you be a mighty, mighty light in the midst of the darkness among those who are hurting. And may you, each one of us, be a welcome mat to those who are lost and hurting. In Jesus' name, amen.